we're chronicling the reasons that Building 7 fell in the World Trade Center, because it is among the favorite myths promoted by conspiracy advocates, those that have made a religion out of promoting lies. Files is one of the things they say when you ask them, okay, you know, beyond the fact of the obvious that the building was impacted and caught fire, and that's what caused it to ultimately collapse with the structural beams, just as the structural beams failed at World Trade Center 1 and 2, which is what caused it to collapse, and they failed because of the heat, and that's what caused Building 7 to fail. Beyond that, they say, you know, you ask them, why in the world would the federal government want to do a controlled demolition of the building, particularly when the preponderance of the occupants in that building were investment houses and banks? Here's a review of what files were actually lost in the World Trade Center 7 fire. The files for thousands of SEC cases were destroyed. Though the SEC has said that most of its most important files were all backed up in other places and reconstructed. So that was a meaningless event from that point of view. Solomon Brothers, a subsidiary of Citigroup, lost files later requested by the SEC in connection with the WorldCom scandal. Now, at the time, none of them had anything to do with the WorldCom. It was later brought into their sphere. So there could have been no reason to destroy those as it relates to Solomon Brothers and Citicorp, because WorldCom was later brought into its association. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission estimated that over $10,000 of its cases were affected. So if you think that equal employment opportunity was a reason for the government to burn buildings, there you go. Investigative files for the Secret Service field office were also lost in the collapse, with the Secret Service agent saying all the evidence that we stored at Building 7 and all of our cases went down with the building. Okay, so the Secret Service that is not involved in a whole lot of cases. The Secret Service primary job is to protect the President of the United States. They're not the FBI, they're not the CIA, and to show just how inept they were, they didn't have backups of their files in other places. But, you know, if you want to believe that the Secret Service was involved in some kind of a great shenanigan, that all the evidence of that had to be destroyed, then there you go. But you'd have to be pretty perverted to buy that pill. The NIST report found no evidence whatsoever supporting any conspiracy theory that 7 World Trade Center was brought down by controlled demolition. Specifically, the window breakage pattern and blast sounds that would have resulted from the explosives was not observed by anyone. The suggestion that an incendiary material such as thermite was used instead of explosive was also discarded by the NIST, because of observations of the actual fire, the way it burned, the building's actual structural response to the fire, in addition, because it wasn't plausible that the necessary amount of material could have been planted without discovery or subsequent detection by investigators. Folks, that's the explanation. It's simple, straightforward, well-researched, well-documented, and the people who compiled it for your benefit are all independent of the government. They're all the most skilled people in the world at what they do. They're experts in this field. They told you what happened. If you want to promote a myth, that's on you. Well, in addition to having Glenn with us, and I've locked you in, Glenn, we also have Nick calling in from Wisconsin, and he's got a comment on longevity and Walmart. Okay, Nick, that doesn't sound like you, but I'm always happy when you call in. Go ahead, Nick.
Good morning.
Yeah.
One of those podcasts, you were saying that longevity is bad guys and Walmart mm-hmm. are bad guys. and you don't like them all.
Yes.
And
For different reasons.
Well, the longevity, for example, your reasoning was because they're too expensive, and of course, they're too expensive.
It's a pyramid scheme.
Yeah. That's the only way the pyramid can work if you overprice your product, and that's what you basically said. But this is just one of the ways how to deliver product to the listeners, to general public. You can go out there and buy some ads on TV and radio, and you know, in those, that 1 or 2 minutes that of that time, you can pack as much as you can to try to sell your product.
Since it's my job on this program to expose myths. When a consumer hears ads for longevity, which are grossly over-touted and making claims that just are not true, and then they encourage you to buy a product that they claim will do these marvelous things for you, which is not true, charging you five times what a similar product would cost you, it's my job to say, don't do that. I mean, yes, pyramid schemes, while not common, there are a number of pyramid schemes that are prevalent in America. And as an individual, I would strongly encourage you not to buy through a pyramid scheme because you're going to pay many times more for the product than you could buy that same product through a more efficient distribution channel. So it is a waste of your money to support a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, that part is I agree with, but you know, it's not just the ads that I listen to on your show or any other GCN show.
Mm-hmm.
There's different shows out there on GCN, like the Brightside Ben guy. That guy is pharmacist, and he's not really pushing it that hard, but he is getting to roots onto a molecular level on what works in your body and how it works. And he doesn't always recommend just longevity. There's cases where he says, "Well, here you have to go outside the longevity
most of these guys hawk these products for a buck. They're part of the pyramid. It's financially in their interest to hawk the product. And I'm going to tell you that everyone who is hawking the product, including Dr. Wallach, who is the founder of the pyramid scheme, they all know that their claims are grossly exaggerated, that that person can buy similar minerals and vitamins at a fraction of the cost, and yet they will overhype their product to get people to pay the exorbitant prices. It's a scam. Pyramid schemes have been around for a long time. They are amongst the worst way to get products to a consumer. And you should be wary of them, and you should distrust anyone who promotes them.
Why do you not like Walmart again?
Walmart's a whole different story. I was in the business supplying residential lighting products. Walmart was one of thousands of customers I had. Walmart reneged on paying a $20 million invoice on a shipment of products. And it is a pattern of behavior that they not only used against my company at the time, destroying it, but that they use against many American manufacturers. They claim to be a company that buys American, and yet they have the largest buying offices and the largest setup overseas and the largest importer of product into America by far. And they what they do is, because they have to pay by irrevocable letter of credit for international products and they can't cheat them of the amount of money they owe them, they can cheat American companies because they buy all product on open credit with American companies, and they routinely deduct enormous amounts of money from their payment to those companies, bankrupting them. And so Walmart is a living fraud. They claim and run all these ads on being pro-America, and yet they are devastating to American manufacturers, and they are the ultimate win for the Chinese and Chinese manufacturing. So I dislike Walmart because it's a complete and utter fraud, and their business practices are deplorable.
Well, whether they buy it from Americans or from Chinese, their product is cheaper than any other local grocery store or any store, retail store.
Yeah, they're.
I mean, in the end, customer is the one that.
Yeah, and actually, if you were to look at value for your product, by far and away, it's Costco. Costco, in terms of quality and price,
yeah,
is by
far.
I know. It's a shame because Costco, they have locations across America, but Costco is by far the most efficient. It was an outgrowth of Price Company. I was part of the original team that brought, and I was on the merchandise side in terms of supplying them with a disproportionate amount of their hard goods. I loved Robert Price and Saul Price and the management team. But Price Company, which then merged into Costco, is by far the most efficient supply chain means for a consumer to buy high quality product at a extraordinarily low price. They're the best. Now, in terms of groceries, Walmart's no better than your average supermarket. They're across the board about the same thing. Where Walmart makes their money is that they are extraordinarily efficient in the supply chain management. That was Sam Walton's strength. Now, Sam Walton copied Walmart after FedMart. Saul Price created FedMart in California and took it to Texas. And so Walmart is a direct copy of FedMart. And Sam's is a direct copy of Price Club. And both of those firms managed to survive for two reasons. One is he built stores where there was no competition. And number two, he managed the supply chain, the distribution cost, better than did other companies. But quality stinks. Service stinks. The customer attitude stinks. And their advertisements, positionings are nothing but lies. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Sharing This. While we were talking with Nick there, I heard, Glenn, you talk about an experience with Costco. Are you a Costco customer?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, that's
belong to both Sam's Club and Costco, and the distinction is quite fascinating in terms of the targeted demography. You know,
yes, yeah,
groupings. And Costco is,
by the way, it's very much like the difference between Target and Walmart. You know,
right.
My wife wouldn't be caught dead in a Walmart. I mean, she wouldn't go to a Walmart if she was starving. But she loves Target, and I'm the same way. You know, I go into a Walmart and I just feel disgusting. And yet Target is a very well merchandised store, much better quality merchandise. I think a superior value because I don't want to pay a low price for junk. I'd much rather pay a.
What about that last scandal that they had with lost information?
Let's talk about that.
Wasn't their fault, really.
It wasn't their fault, and they weren't the only ones involved. There were about 50 companies that were hacked. And Target wasn't hacked in terms of their own stores or their own computers or their own files. Target, like the other 50, and then there was another 50 thereafter, now about 100 retailers that were hacked by when the transfer process of the credit card information. And it's every retailer that exists uses outside firms to monitor that and to maintain that transfer process. And so the hacking that was done against the transfer protocols. That wasn't Target's fault, and they weren't even remotely alone in the process.
Hmm. Well,
but I would.
What if we shop at that too, but you know, you can, of course, you can see the difference when you walk
in
one and another store.
Right.
But they are more expensive. If you don't have Costco around, then what do you do?
Yeah, Target is only more expensive. The average gross margin of Target versus Walmart is the same. And so the difference in prices at Target is that Target deliberately tries to offer a better quality of merchandise. And so you'll pay a little more for a lot better product at Target. What Glenn was inferring at the difference between Sam's and Costco. And by the way, this, what you're talking about here, I am like the American Society of Civil Engineers are to Building 7, is what I am to retail distribution. I know it inside and in between. This was my life for better part of 20 years. I know the supply channel inside and out and the nature of retailers. And Glenn was mentioning the difference between Sam's and Costco. Now, the quality of product at Sam's does not compare to the quality of product at Costco. That they aren't even remotely similar, even though that Sam's is a copy of a Price Company and Costco also is a copy of Price Club.
And then another thing about the Walmart and the Walmart does not have sales like Target do, and I love it. I hate to be overpaying for something, and you know how the sales work. Yeah. They get it for cheaper, and then they just, you know, they allow customers to buy it for what they pay for.
That's not really true in the it is true in department stores. It is true in department stores. If you you can have every reason in a department store to hate a sale, because what that means is that in a department store, if you need the product and it's not on sale, you're going to grossly overpay for it, and you have to time your purchases of product for the sale in the department store. Now they do it because most women have this mindset: if they're buying something on sale, they're saving money. Now they're not saving money. You can go to every sale in the world, and by the time you purchase products on sale, you will have less money. You'll have less money than you had before. Now, as it relates to a discounter, Walmart and Target are discounters. The mindset of a Walmart and Target is that if they buy a product for $10, they're going to want to sell that product for $16. And that is what they're going to do. Now, if Walmart Walmart won't do it so much, but if Target then goes to the company that's selling that product for $10, where they're selling it for $16, and Target will say, rather than the average quantity that we're using every month, if you would like a shipment of three or four times that amount and give us a price break and pay for the ad, then we will run an ad on that product that is beneficial for you because it will draw attention to your product, and it's also beneficial for the customer. We'll be back and talk about retail marketing strategies, one of my favorite topics, when Shattering Myths continues. Stay with us, Dick. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're actually having an interesting conversation about supply chain management. For those that don't know my background, I began my business career as a middleman, as a company that managed a sales and marketing function for mid-sized companies, connecting the manufacturer of retail consumer products with retail chains. And that's how I made my living for better part of a decade. My sales and marketing company grew to be one of the largest in the country of its kind, doing hundreds of millions of dollars in retail transactions. That's when I hooked up with the guys that originally formed Price Club, where I was one of the largest suppliers in the early days. I also did business with FedMart and saw FedMart replicated, copied by Walmart. And then from there, I became a manufacturer of retail consumer products. So I saw it from the side of the manufacturer, where you now work with retailers and get to know their various strategies because they were now the customers. And then lastly, I became a retailer. I built a what at the time was the second largest e-tailer, built it from scratch to the point where when I left management, it was worth about $3.5 billion. So this is a subject that I know pretty well. I know the various margins that retailers use and the strategies they use. And so, Nick, on the case of discounters offering sales, when a mass merchant like a Walmart in the case of Target in particular, their everyday prices on most products are going to be at about a 40% margin, which is 40% on the sell price. And that's what they're going to average. And they're going to buy as well as anybody can buy because of the massive quantities of products that they use that would be part of their basic assortment. But they will run ads, and when you buy a product on sale at a Target, for example, you're really getting an extraordinary value on that product. And when you buy it when it's not on sale, you're not paying a premium price for it. If you were to look at a company like a department store, that would not be the case. If you buy a product on a department store that's not on sale, you're being gouged. And if you buy it on sale, you're still paying, on average, a 50% margin. And a 50% margin is twice the cost because it's on the sale price. So the $10 item at the department store is sold for $19.95. But that $10 item really doesn't have a cost of $10. It has a cost of about $6. And there's $4 built into it for advertising and the cost to support the very inefficient department store model. So it depends on the kind of store you go to as to what kind of value you can achieve.
So but, can I take you?
Go ahead.
If you really want to get couched on markup, buy a convenience store coffee.
Well, yeah. The problem with a convenience store is that the stores are so small. And so what they're hoping is that you're going into the convenience store to, and they know you're only going to buy one or two items. And so that type of situation is just not efficient. It's not efficient in distribution. It's not efficient in terms of manpower. And so it's only efficient for one thing. You can go in and get a minimum number of things very efficiently. So you could be filling your car with gas while you pick up something that's probably not a very good quality and not at a very good price. But it is efficient in one regard, and that is it's efficient use of your time.
Oh, yeah. One thing I want to say about Costco is they're known for having very good employee compensation. They've got stock sharing, profit sharing, stock and stuff like that.
Yeah. When I was with Price Club and Bill Senegal started to Costco up there in Washington State because he was really the unofficial son of Saul Price, Robert Price, Saul's actual son, a great guy, but Robert had a terrible tragedy in his life. His son, Adam, got a brain tumor and died, and it just pulled the living heart and soul, as it would any man, from Robert. And so with Saul aging, Bill Senegal's copy of Price Club at Costco ultimately grew and prevailed, and they merged the two together. And I can tell you that the thing that I loved, I don't think I ever had a happier time in my business career than when I was with the original team that started Price Club. And the reason is that we were a family, and our entire mission was to give our customers, who at the time were members, the best possible value. We were committed to getting the best quality product that exceeded the best of what department stores were selling, and we would provide that product at a 10% margin. So we'd strip all the advertising out of the product, all the inefficient distribution out of the product, get that $10 product for $8, and then we would sell that $8 product for $8.99. And so you're buying the same, a better quality product than you could buy in the department store for $20 at $9. And we, you know, the customers were excited about the, it was almost a buying frenzy because of the quality of products and the value, but also because of this free decor. I mean, the guys and gals that were running the registers ultimately became buyers. They became executives, and the guys that were driving the forklifts became part of the distribution management. It was family. It was the most extraordinary experience I've ever had in business. It continues to a large degree, even though Costco is now a huge corporation. It continues to a large degree because of the attitude of Bill Senegal of Costco. So, and I have no stock in Costco, not that I know of anyway. I don't manage my finances. I have someone else do that. I know a lot about retail supply chain, and I can tell you there is no better place in America to buy products than from Costco.
Can we sure. go back to talk about medical model and
sure.
you know, again, a little bit more about the wallet guy.
Yeah,
I like the guy and
good. You shouldn't.
What are there? And he, I don't. I think
he's a con man.
Bad for advertising. His show yeah. over there. They're driving people away from product,
yeah.
not
yeah.
to it.
I would agree. They're you know he calls himself a doctor and he's a vet. He was a vet. I don't know if he's not even a vet anymore. He says that he was nominated for a Nobel Prize, which is utter nonsense. And that his past is all in very shady kinds of things. Like he once was part of the Laetrol clinics down there in Tijuana. His claims are ridiculous.
Doesn't he claim that he can cure the muscular dystrophy?
That was his original claim. He was working in a vet in some zoo, that he claims that he cured it, and so the vets began to investigate his claim. Found out that his claim was bogus. When it found out to be bogus, I think he moved to China, if I can recall the story correctly. And he's been thoroughly refuted regarding his claims. No. In fact, that's the thing that really bothers me about longevity. It does, and he does, make all sorts of claims that provide false hope. And that you know, Nick, that I hate religion, because religion makes all sorts of claims that provide false hope. And I think false hope is a terrible thing. When you give people false hope and they rely on what you say and then they're disappointed and you then take their money while providing false hope, you know, I have no respect for that kind of stuff. So it's why I speak out against it.
Look at the other
right.
From the other side, you have, let's say with the cancer, the medical model that's there mm-hmm. right now, what gives it to you? Another hope. And they do the same thing. They take your
right.
money.
Right.
What do they cure anything? Well, sure, they can, if you can call it the cure.
Yeah, my youngest son, his research is in cancer. He is a year now from getting his PhDs, and organic chemistry, and all of his research is in cancer inhibitors. You know, the fact is that we are a very long ways away from coming up with what you would call a cure for cancer. Now, right now, we treat cancer primarily through poison. Chemotherapy is a derivative of the mustard gas that was used in World War I. And the reason that it's used is because cancer cells, like any other cell in your body, except it replicates too rapidly. So it's a normal cell in your body that is reproducing itself too rapidly. And when it does that, it creates lesions where the blood no longer flows because the veins are compressed, and that it can go and consume nutrients from other parts of the body because it's just growing too rapidly. And so it's a more vulnerable cell, so chemotherapy kills everything.
So it's the cell that just decides not to die. I mean,
well, no.
Consuming nutrients before. This time, it just when the time has come and it just it just kept on growing and kept on consuming.
No, it has nothing to do with it. It's actually more susceptible to dying than other cells are, which is why a universal poison like chemotherapy works on it, because of the fact that it's more susceptible to being killed than are the healthy cells around it. But there are two problems with chemotherapy. It'll kill cancer cells, but it kills every other cell as well, just at a slightly lesser rate. But the other problem with treating cancer is that the cancer cell, because its growth prohibits the oxygen and nourishment from our bloodstream to going to its heart, it is a hypoxic environment. And so the cancer research is really designed while chemotherapy can deal with the outside of the cancer lesion, it can't permeate to the inside. And so we're trying to develop mechanisms, targeting mechanisms, that will go into the hypoxic center of cancer cells, and that in that hypoxic environment will deliver a strategic poison that only kills the cancer and from the inside out. And while we've made some progress, we're a very long way from that ultimately prevailing. And that's a wonderful question on cancer. In fact, Glenn is in the medical business, so we'll ask him about this when we return after the break. Welcome back to Shattering This. I'm your host, Yadav. We have Glenn and Nick on. We've covered a lot of ground from rebuking the conspiracy theories associated with 9/11 and Building 7, to false claims by makers and sellers of herbal related products and vitamins, and pyramid schemes, to retail distribution management, and as a consumer, where you get the best value on the best quality product, and now to what is the status of cancer treatment, and what are we trying to accomplish? And based on your last comment, Nick, I do want Glenn works in healthcare. What is your take on what I had to say about cancer? That it is a fast growing cell, a fast multiplying cell, and that we fight it with a poison called chemotherapy now, which is basically a derivative of mustard gas. Kills everything, but kills the cancer cells more readily than it does the other cells, a higher percentage of them. And the ultimate goal is to find a substance that can effectively target hypoxic environments where there's very little oxygen, and go in there bring in something that will only kill the core of the cancers, what we're trying to achieve.
I understand what you're saying. I agree. I also understand what Nick was saying about the cells not dying, not self-destructing, but the real issue does, I believe to be the case, as you said, it's proliferation of cells.
Yes.
Okay, this is a great opportunity for me.
Yes.
Just to make my stance real clear, as Dirty Harry says, man's got to know his limitations.
Yes.
I'm a registered nurse, not a physician.
Yeah.
My background has been primarily in geriatric nursing, psychiatric nursing, and work with spinal cord and brain injury patients.
Okay.
I am almost singularly underqualified to hold forth on this topic.
Okay.
But I've not been in the hospital since 1968 when I had my tonsils out, but I do have a much beloved relative who has survived into his mid-80s through standard surgical treatment for coronary artery disease and standard chemo and radiation for prostate cancer.
Yes.
And so I feel sure that his life has been greatly extended by that. Although,
yes,
overall, I do like integrative approaches to medicine. We have, hospitals in the Philadelphia area that have integrative centers where they don't just poo-poo and slough off naturopathic or homeopathic modalities. So I think it's good to integrate that in. But I'm not sure what I would do if I, were to find that I had cancer. But again, I'm almost, other than being very grateful that I have a relative who has survived through through standard allopathic medicine, I'm not the guy to ask.
Weighing in over here.
Sure.
You said that the chemotherapy, the poison more likely or not, will kill more of a cancer cell than other cells.
That's right.
Well,
that's how it works.
Then why and how come it doesn't work for the patients with the, at the fourth stage of who's got the fourth stage of cancer? If we would follow your model, then it should work for them too. I mean,
No. No, exactly the opposite. What happens is if you catch cancer early, what they will what they'll do is they'll first put you through a series of chemotherapy, and the purpose of that is to take because it works on the outside of the cancer cell, and because the cancer cells are rapidly reproducing, they're more vulnerable, and they die at a faster rate than does the surrounding cells of your body, and so they try to reduce the size of the cancerous mass through chemotherapy. Then they will typically go in and an operation surgically to remove the cancerous tissues, and then they'll follow it with chemotherapy because now you have only very thin and small cancerous lesions left. And that has been the most successful treatment we have for cancer, but it's, you know, there's no part of that that's very fun. It's a miserable experience. Now, the reason that it doesn't work in stage four is that although the cancer still is more susceptible to chemotherapy than are the surrounding tissues, because it's only marginally so, you'd have to kill so many surrounding tissues to eradicate the cancer by the time it reaches stage four that you will absolutely kill the individual. And because at that point the cancer is so widespread and so large that you can't reduce it to the point that you can go in surgically and remove the rest. And so once it reaches a point that you have to kill much of the host body to remove the cancer, stage four, then there's really nothing that people can do.
Did your wife have cancer?
My wife has not had cancer. Cancer does run in her family.
She had hysterectomy.
Yeah, well, she has had, and she had.